Tonight, last time, I guess I, well, let's finish reading this. Then.
What was that, Vic?
When he gave us the proposal for the Kituwit Sea, or the Old English Sea on the tank by itself.
I would imagine that he's saying Kituwit.
Okay.
With the sea on.
Because that wasn't clear to me. Yeah.
That'll... Good, Chris?
Yes, okay. Should be good. As long as everybody's on.
August 20th, Thursday, August 20th, 6 p.m., meeting come to order. Got a minute.
I'm ready. I make a motion to accept the minutes as presented to us.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Tomatoes are those?
I don't know.
Tomato tomatoes?
Yeah, them too.
Red ones.
I have a couple plants with big leaf states like this, but you're not getting those.
Thanks. How's Jim Gallagher doing?
Good.
Cool. How'd the hydrant replacement go?
How'd the hydrant replacement go?
Good. A little bit of time, the town shut down, shut the thing, gates aren't working as good as they used to, but...
Mr. Quick Camp.
Welcome to summer.
Yeah, you're not in the dress code either, no shorts. Good boy.
Yeah.
You're right. You're confused.
No, it's just always confusing. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Did it for warrants, Chris?
Yes, it is.
Did it.
All right. There's another one out there. I missed.
There's another thing checked off right there. How about water quality? You good? Well, who else indeed?
So far, so good. We do have a new MTBE report there.
Good boy.
They're all non-detects.
Good.
They've been doing it every quarter now. And they've been doing it ever since, so that's good news there. We did do... See, I haven't had my byproducts come back, but I did have my manganese come back for this quarter. They were up from last quarter. Two out of the three that we test were above the suggested MCL, which is like 0.05, but none of them were above the action level at all. We did at one time have something above the action level. We resampled and it was zero, so we're not really sure what happened there. But now it seems to be up instead of 0.05, like at 0.12 and stuff like 0.12 and stuff. They're still high, but they're not to the point where DEP should be breathing down our necks or anything right now.
When is that?
We have to do it quarterly because they're above the suggested MCL on some of them. And it depends, and I believe it's because we have, we were talking to Patrick a little about this last
right.
Trying to do the asking if we're allowed to do the dissolved.
Right.
And we'd already done the plan to do the testing before that, have the stuff and everything else, so it's just something I have to talk to. I'm not positive on the woman's name. I have an email from her that I'd like to give her a call and just find out if we're allowed to do it that way. But just need myself a note to do it.
What is the threshold there, Gov? What is the threshold that they...
There's just a suggested MCL.
Yeah.
Right now, and I believe it's like over 20.20 or 0.25.
Okay.
Is the... It's like an OC something. It's not really an action level because there isn't a little MCL on it. So maybe the suggested, you know, right now the suggested, because the whole thing with manganese being bad in newborns and everything, they're trying to get a little more in touch with it.
Yeah.
So eventually we're going to have to do something which I'm not looking forward to.
Okay. Right.
That's really water quality. Everything else, there was no... bacteria hits or anything.
Good.
We're still adding the chlorine, if anybody asks.
Good.
Really, I don't know if we'll be able to stop. You know, right now.
I don't think it's a... It's not
yeah.
a really an option in this day.
You want to fly through this report?
Mm-hmm. don't give my tomato. My maple cut.
And let me give you my report while I'm here. On this.
What's that, Tom?
Do that report.
Sure.
Sure, that's all we have on that right now.
I want you to do your superintendent's report, and then we'll have Russell.
Okay.
Address us.
Okay. Superintendent's report reading it on August 20th, 2015. Pumpage in July of 2014 was $36,991,000. Pumpage in July of 2015 was $40,457,000. For a difference of $3,466,000 more than last year during July.
They've been dry.
It was a real, real dry July. I looked back in the records, and as far as I can see, my records only go back to 96 with the book I was looking at. I didn't really think it'd be too advantageous to go back beyond that. But that is the third highest that we've ever pumped in a month. Mm-hmm. Back in 2005, we pumped $41,224,000 in July, and back in August of 2010, we pumped $43,430,000. So we do go up, but that is our fourth highest pumping that we, to record at least that I have, yep, ever done. And it's close to being that I can see the third highest day, because our largest was $1,763,000 a day. And that was, the only thing I could find above that was one date back in 2010 and one in 2002. We actually did go over 2 million back in 2002, one date. That might even have been because a pump got stuck on or something happened, you know, or I don't know. We were filling tanks at that time or something. That's almost running constant at that point.
It definitely dried up.
Yeah, it did dry up. And we had... let's see, looking at it, we had 28 days where we pumped over 1 million gallons in July this year, which is quite a high for us. But in, we had a little bit of a break in August so far, but now it's just getting right back up there.
Yeah.
You know, right. And we only had 1.64 inches of rain in July also.
All right, Chris.
We did have 5 new services put in July.
Oh.
4 of them were down in Rushy Marsh Farm.
Oh, yeah.
The building's down there, yeah. We had one that was somebody who had a well that turned over on Chio Road, which is a main that we put in probably 15, 20 years ago. We put some section in down across the street here, down below Jackson, Chio, and Wings Lane. That was when we first started doing our extensions and stuff like that. We started out in that area, and he's probably the last person on that road to change over.
Okay.
Yeah. We had 2 replacement services. One was the Barnstable Cemetery, the town of Barnstable. Found out that their service actually came off of Montero's service next door. They borrowed water off of them to start out and never ended up plugging into the water main because the main didn't go that far when they did it. So when they went by, no one ever connected into the brand new water main or anything like that. And they've been like halfway, maybe like 20 to 30 inches down from this curb stop. They got a tee, and they just teed off of the curb stop off a 1-inch line to fed it.
That's the way you do it.
Yeah. But it had a meter on it. Yeah. It had a meter in the basement.
Oh, it did, yeah.
But they didn't have to pay for any of the connections. They just teed into his.
Does Catoosa Cemetery pump their own water? Do they have their own well?
They have a well, yeah, for irrigation.
Both sides?
Yes. They have a. They actually have like a. When we did the service, there was a asbestos water main in there, like a 6-inch asbestos main.
Wow.
I don't know who put that in. No, that's an old water main that I wouldn't want to touch. When they decide to change it, they can go through the class to get rid of all the asbestos.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to give them a hand, but that's it. The other one was over here in the corner of Putnam. We had a people by the name of Renahan, and it's another one of those same situations where their curb stop was longer than, I mean, their sideline was longer than their water service. They said, you know, we're trying to put in more sprinklers lines and we can't get any water pressure out of it. I told them, that's ridiculous. You know, and I walked over there and looked at it, and they said, your curb stops here, there. It's a 1-inch line. You should have plenty. So I said, your sideline should be right, and I'm looking it up, and I looked back in the notes, and I'm like, wow. It's actually about 150 feet down the road. They came out, went down the water main, and into a connection.
Oh.
Where they had, and when they extended it, they ran the water main along the 1-inch line going down the road and then across the board.
Who's they?
I have a feeling that it might have had to do with Chandler Construction, but I can't guarantee that, or I shouldn't mention
it. He was charging by the foot then.
Right. So we did have those. We had one leak repair. We had a pinhole. It was more like a pencil hole in a 5-foot piece of copper outside the foundation. Mm-hmm. And that's actually on a line that when I first started back in 87, I remember them putting in. Because it was a development that Roderick was putting in at the time. So now they're starting to leak. The services that are older, that are younger than me, are leaking, so we're in trouble. And we changed 5 hydrants, took away the old stubbies and put in some breakaways.
Okay.
Some on Santuit Road and one over on Nickerson Road that was very short and everything to help out the fire department so they can hook up to it.
Good.
And everything, and that's how we started doing it. And got rid of some. Like to buy them over the years. If I get a little money left at the end of the year, I buy a couple, put them down by Station 5 until I get enough to do another 5 or 6, and we'll do that again down the line. That way we don't have to ask for extra money or anything. I got a couple things. I just wanted to inform you that Matt Dwyer has been working for us now a little over a month and a half.
Oh, good.
He's doing real well. Seems to, he's there on time every day, and he wants to work. So, I mean, he's asking a lot of questions, learning a lot of things, and seems to be pretty happy.
Good.
Yep.
And last, try to keep him around, will you, Chris?
I'm trying not to drive this one away. Last thing I have here is the lien list. It needs your signatures to be sent to the town of Barnstable. It says on here the signature of each member of the board or the officer in charge with title. I think if we just have each of you sign the bottom down here, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Just leave enough room so everybody can on that little dotted line. Can you see that dotted line?
Oh, right there.
Sorry.
Same group.
Yeah, just give them. There's two there. Sign each page.
This is the final. This is the.
Yep.
It's two. I get different names on all pages. I
guess. And there's some. Yeah, they're the same people usually.
This guy's tough right here.
Yeah.
That's Asdots too.
Young?
I know, yeah.
Just what a surprise.
Yeah. Well, you know, these guys should consider themselves lucky because we don't shut the water off.
Right.
But we're one of the few places left that don't shut the water off, Chris.
I'll tell you what. For my guy's safety, I'm glad we don't.
I know. I'm with you. Mm-hmm.
I've heard some stories about people tagging what happens, how they're getting chased off the land, off their property and stuff like that.
I know. I know they do. I know it's tough. So we'll just
some of those
we will attach that. We'll attach them. There'll be a lien on that.
Yeah, there'll be a lien on the property.
These.
Some of them, I don't even know if there's one on there, but a lot of times we get them for
$3.60. I know.
I didn't even check this year to see if there was any.
So the liens from last year and the year before and the year before.
There's the lien of every, they have to pay every, well, they get
it's
paid.
It's not
every
on
year.
This.
No.
This is just this,
this
past
is, this
year.
This is this past year, yeah.
And they're continued each at $400 or $500 a year.
Correct.
Okay.
have a record of how much, you know, some of these guys have accrued over the last 15?
Well, the thing is, I'm not positive. I think these things get put on the taxes every year. So we do get paid in the long run. Somebody does, whether it doesn't come to us, it might come to, it's off the record, and I think that maybe our treasurer will get a check from the town of Barnstable at a certain time of year or stuff like that.
All right.
But don't quote me on that. I mean, that's how I was told.
The same crew, you know.
And that will conclude my report.
All right. So next is Russell. How you doing, Russ?
Good.
Okay.
Do you mind if I...
Come on up here, Russ.
You can move the tomato right away.
Andrew called me from Greenstate working on the solar project.
Yep.
We're going to take a few minutes up front. I don't know if Andrew needs to stick around for the whole tank discussion unless you want to.
Sure, let's do it.
But do we want to? I know we're on a schedule here. We got another meeting coming up after this, I understand.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys are eager to get an update with the solar. So, Andrew, why don't you?
Come on. Belly up here, Andrew.
Oh, you want a tomato too? Here.
You were the only one that made the dress code, so you make an exception.
No long pants tonight. Yeah. You had to wear shorts. I don't know.
Next time, you don't allow no July long pants. Shorts.
Yeah.
Don't be showing us up around here, please.
So I sent an email to Russ. Just some basic questions that would kind of frame the kind of what developers are coming to look for in terms of what kind of contracts you guys can enter into, what sort of kind of something that lease payments and pilot payments, what you guys are really looking to get out of it, that's not necessarily outside the scope of the normal RFQ or RFP, but that's something specific to Kituit. So I know before there was some mention about, you know, you guys might not be able to enter into contracts on in 10 years.
That's gone now.
Gone?
Yeah.
Okay. basic questions. I don't know if it was Chris and Mike, I believe, were on the email that Russell sent out.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and it was basically...
you were talking about Mark.
Mark's on vacation.
I tried to get in touch with him. He's on vacation.
Some of the questions sent out were probably best suited for legal advisement and has to go into contractual issues. So I advise that we can bring them up at the meeting tonight, but we'll probably all stare at each other and go like that. Because some of it gets more technical. My other thought was, you know, let's talk to some of these other water departments and some of the other developers to see how they did it. So.
Yeah, so some of the main things were, are you guys looking to get a specific land lease payment out of the development? Because that's, you know, something that's generally part of every single municipal project, but it's coming to terms with, you know, what you guys be comfortable with. They're pretty standard ranges as far as what goes out, as far as development size. Originally, we had designed a system or, you know, kind of a high-level system based on what you guys use for basically the pump stations out there, and kind of sizing the site around that. But would you guys still entertain the idea of basically open season on that property, and whatever someone wants to come in and do, they build as big as possible, as long as you guys are compensated for that? You know, kind of just the real formulation of, you know, what portions of the property can actually be used. What if there was other property on the land that would be entertained to go into the RFQ as well? Basically, what you guys are open to on a more specific basis.
My first understanding was the electrical cost for the district, which in the figure I was given, I heard, was like $75,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I also thought I heard that there's some sort of restriction on building more than what your need is. And was that correct?
It's not necessarily a restriction. It's just if you build the system to be a certain percentage of that power is used on the site, they give you a higher, it's called an SREC factor. You basically get, you know, 12% more annual revenue. Mm-hmm. So the owner's going to get more money out of it, but you guys aren't going to necessarily get more value out of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, unless they required a land lease per se, if they didn't consider the size of the well.
But where if you guys wanted to, you know, make that property a lot more, you know, a developer comes in and uses a larger portion of it, they build it, you know, we have this property, we can spend so much time on it to make it as big as we can, or, you know, as utilized as possible, that SRI factor goes down a little bit.
Yeah.
It's still a totally viable project. But if you went bigger, that, you know, a lot of these large developers may not come in for something under a certain threshold.
Okay.
But if you basically just say, hey, you guys can do whatever you want, it makes it a lot more.
All right, so the area that I would remember to call is roughly 3 acres. So that, for me to make a guesstimate of what would be acceptable, I have to look at what we have available and how it would, you know.
Yeah, and I was kind of just concerned about just...
I don't want to go crazy.
I haven't talked to DEP at all about this. This is just something I was starting to wrestle with last night. Last night, yesterday. It was something I was thinking about last night, and I didn't have a chance this morning to do it, but with a 400-foot radius around the well, I don't know what can be put there if solar.
So there is guidance that they've given.
Okay.
There's a whole process that's already set up. If you're developing a zone 2 or a zone 1,
yep.
It's essentially, as long as you give them an application, they okay. It's like you basically say that this site is not going to impact any ongoing operations, and they just give you rubber stamp, okay.
So, I mean, there's nothing that's in this when they do it that's going to affect other than just declaring the land.
No, the
whole situation is basically anything on them, like, you know, the oil tank or...
No, basically that you're just not going to store hazardous construction debris on the site. It's really the only limitation.
Is the 3 acres located by one of our wells?
It would be basically if you walk, you have walked down the road. So if you were to go down to the last gate,
okay,
it would be that chunk of land basically from that last gate looking back toward the cut road that goes over to power lines, if that's a standing barrier.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, it'd be like that section.
That triangle in there.
So that's...
Because it's the flattest land that we have there, and it's the furthest away from everybody, that it wouldn't be affecting anybody or in anybody's vision.
And how much land is that? Is it more than 3 acres?
I think it was a tiny bit more, was it? Right there?
Oh, right there?
Yeah.
I have to look back to see what...
I mean, we have 200 and something acres, 224 acres out there.
Yeah.
But this is something we thought that was close enough to the road that we wouldn't be impacting the too much of the forest.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be an area that would be too devastated or anything by it. It's going to be pretty flat compared to other areas, but we have some crevices.
So it's that triangle where the...
Basically that triangle.
How about... I don't know whether you have any concerns, and Chris, you know this better than I, with vandalism.
It's a concern.
Yeah. Well, it is a common thing with these solar sites. They do provide security operations maintenance. We're going to have fenced in. We're going to have, hopefully, God willing, some type of security out there that would be close to it. We could run to it. I'd be very curious. And that was, again, you know, that area was picked by a drive, but we didn't do anything to survey.
Yeah.
There could be other flat areas. There could be, you know, they can develop X amount of them. More they have to spend on clearing, grading, filling.
Yeah.
The less return than them, I guess.
Yeah.
I'd be very curious to talk to either Barnstable Airport or the fire district that put all those solar panels on the airport. That's fire district land.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm sure of like 5 acres of solar panels. I mean, there's a serious amount of solar panels out there, if you will. So I'd be curious how they set up their agreements, because I would assume that they're comparable in size to, I don't know how many connections, how many customers.
I don't know if the water department did that there, if it's done through who did it over there right now. That's something, and I didn't call Tom today, but I did email Paul Anderson last, and I couldn't find Tom's address at 4 o'clock at the time.
He
was there or not.
We can track it down. So, you know, curious to them just because they're a separate district. You know, I think a lot of towns New Bedford has a big one out there, a 30-acre one.
Yeah.
You know, Bourne's putting in a large one to feed multiple municipal developments. But I think we probably could explore what others have done too, and build off that.
Have you guys done any other municipalities, or are you guys more basically homes?
We do mostly the big commercial sites. Yeah, I haven't actually full scale developed any big municipalities.
So I think the only thing, because I had in my mind as 3 acres, 75,000, it was kind of like that is the plan we're going at.
Mm-hmm.
The only concern I would have would be, maybe a couple of them, is I don't want it to impact anyone, any people living out there.
Sure.
So then I could be complaining about, you know, I don't have to look at these things. I used to have a beautiful forest. And then just impacting the forest. You know?
And that was those are the numbers discussed as far as, you know, what acreage would be needed to offset contiguous power.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things we're trying to do is promote creative ideas from mm-hmm. respondents.
Yeah.
Solar developers are very crafty, creative people, some for better, some for worse. And they can come back with some ideas that none of us have thought of. And
okay.
We really some, you know, I think one of the things, and I talked with Chris about this, is years ago, our company did a land use study that identified all contiguous parcels, maybe include something like that, and said this is all 5 district parcels. You know, if you want to get creative and suggest some ideas, you know, they may not fly, but at least it gives us an idea of what your thought process is. Because, you know, the parcel that the San Tua tank sits on is 18 acres?
It's 25 acres.
25 acres?
Yeah.
There's a good chunk of flat land going past that tank, and there's open conduit there that goes to three-phase power.
Right.
So, and that's already been cleared, and it's not within similar to...
And it's got access.
It's got access.
5 has mm-hmm. enough for, you know, like a half a dozen. If not, and then even a tilted ceiling.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to go over into well filled by a power line.
Right, right. I mean, there's other, you know,
yeah.
ones that could go on. There's 3 phase right there, too.
Well, it's not that I definitely want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I also... Initially, I thought there was a time constraint. He was concerned about something changing, but I think that time constraint got relieved a little bit, so there's not really
correct.
Any pressure. So we have time to...
Really only end right now would be end of 2016.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, are you suggesting that the RFP just kind of be open-ended, or would you put specifications in there for a minimum amount of power, a maximum amount of power that you wanted to generate?
So what you want to start with is basically what Kitu would be willing to just to guarantee by. So it would be all of the power, be willing to have all of
it. The library, this hall, fire department,
sure.
the well fields.
You could supply, and the more that you guys would be willing to basically contractually purchasing, you know, this mm-hmm. bid goes forward, you can develop and we will purchase this power,
yeah.
then it makes a lot more enticing in terms of, well, you know, we have this 3 acre spot, how about we do this now and this and this?
Okay.
Add it on bigger. So if it's, you know, some RFQs are, you know, well, the town may reserve the right to purchase some of it.
Yeah.
We may help you find some of the town to buy it, but they won't necessarily commit to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a commitment in there saying if this is a successful development and we go forward with purchasing the power, it makes the developers come in and go, okay, this is going to be worth putting a lot more time and effort.
Okay.
You have a creative idea.
Yeah. So is that something we can have for next month? Or?
I'm not planning on yet.
Okay.
We're just getting some of the contractual stuff out of
yeah.
the way, and that's really the
okay.
one.
We're ready.
Yeah, we want to do something.
We're ready to make a good move mm-hmm. in that direction. There's no reason we can't offset the file from us, and we need to probably be sure that we can generate something that can be put out into the system that we're actually allowed to and legally that we just... aren't in a situation where we can only generate enough power to pay for what we have.
Right.
We had to check that again. I know that Rick did at one point. So.
Right, and like you, I was saying, you guys had asked me at one point to check with Mark on that whole over
yeah.
10 years.
Right.
And he said there is something on the books that says municipalities can't enter into an agreement for over 10 years without anybody complies with.
There's
not everybody complies.
Yeah.
So when I talk to Brewster, when I talk to Constable, I'm going to see how they have it written
mm-hmm.
into it. The 10 without, you know, what I, Russ and I talked to, Russ said, he said, find out who they use for council for one thing.
Yeah.
What kind of, you know, who they use for a contractor, and I also have this as possibly getting a copy of the contract.
Yeah.
So look at and everything, if they'd be so nice and everything. So,
are those power purchase agreements, those public documents, if it goes on municipal land?
They're generally part of, yeah, the way it's formed is the RFP would be sent out with some sort of PPA that the town is ready to sign.
So that would be a public.
Right.
So Sandwich approached it and had another issue with the Article 97, but that's Phil Boudreau,
yep,
Mark's brother.
Right.
And he's telling me that there's that 20-year, that 10-year thing's gone. Okay. We can go 20 years.
Phil's telling you? Or?
Phil is advising Dan.
Okay.
And I talked to him 2 days ago. Just to find out.
Yeah. No.
Phil told you that, or Mark told you? Mark told you that.
Mark told you. Yeah.
So I don't know what that is, but I've got stuff that I talked with Dan about, and then I brought the solar thing. He's really been into this thing. He doesn't want to go on this Article 97 because they have to go to the legislature.
But you can take other lands that may not be in Article 97 and
correct,
get into it.
I don't think we have that going on here.
Okay, well, let's get
this to you.
If you see Tom Mooney, you could ask him too.
I'll see Tom.
Because I feel bad every time I call Tom. But anyways, I like Tom and everything, and I was looking for a way to email him. I couldn't find his email address today and everything. He might still have John Harrison's old address. I have that, but I don't have his.
That's fine. I'll ask him. I'll figure it out.
One other thing that I just thought of. I am on in the Cape Light Compact agreement, kind of locked in. I'll sign something and say that I will be at.
For
a year. Or I think 2 years.
For
a year. I can't remember if we did it for 1, 2, or 3 years at this point. So, I mean, if this is something I need to get out of,
it should have no impact on that.
Okay.
It will come in and it'll be a net metering credit for a year.
Yeah.
Which is completely, basically, aside from any competitive supply contracts.
Okay. Have.
Oh, is that right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I just want to make sure. Thank you.
So have we answered the questions you had?
Yeah, for the most part,
okay.
On the kind of the scoping stuff.
Yeah.
And then if you just read, it said Mark
Boudreau. Mark Boudreau, yeah.
Just out of curiosity, you said opening it up a little bit would allow some of the bigger, maybe interest the bigger companies. What's kind of the breaking line between, you know, a small project and a and
it's
something?
It's kind of a moving target in terms of if you, you know, just have building like this, this is they would, you know, spend their time putting together the documents.
Yeah.
And if you say, well, we have the first original thing, so we've got 260 kilowatts on that Santua Road site, and that's on the smaller side, but that's still a completely, you know, competitive size for someone to at least be worth it. And if you have other properties where it's now it's 267, now it's 367, now it's 400 kilowatts around the town, then it's, you know, worth more time, more people coming in
a day.
Okay.
Who's doing the whose solar field is that over by Cubellis's, the edge of Cubellis's property in Bourne? Do we know who that is?
I'm not sure.
That's 45. It's 45 or 50 acres.
That's the big one. They're doing.
Yeah. That's 45 or 50 acres. So I went in there.
That's feeding several municipal, you know, water departments getting some. But I think
right.
Born
in town. Born fire district.
Yeah, that's
Beaumont. Yeah.
Oh.
And I know. I think Bracken did the. They went through the permitting process, the engineering, the little engineering firm down there in Bourne. But yeah, but I think that is Beaumont site. They're getting power. Yeah.
Now, is it better to have it all on one site, one location, as compared to having it spread out in different ones?
For everyone here, capacity-wise, yes.
Yeah.
Because you have to get, basically, you're doing the same motions for
mm-hmm.
each site.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
there's some things you duplicate you wouldn't have to.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have the most capacity on one parcel of land is mm-hmm. the most effective way to do it.
Yeah.
Because just they're gating with, you know, people that are having tax equity portions
mm-hmm.
out there and everything else.
whole separate
okay.
project.
If we decided to not have it out in that section out there on this triangle and found some other area, I would be interested if we could do it there. Because, I mean, if we're going to do it on a site that has 5 acres or 6 acres, I mean, we wouldn't need to, we could just do the 5 acres rather yeah. than leaving, you know.
Sure, and that's, I mean, that's going to be a lot more
just utilize that area totally mm-hmm. And that would be something that would be, right. you know, we
you
probably
could. You talked about impacts to forests and stuff, so if you have 5 acres of land that's not clear, you probably don't want someone
to. Hasn't there been a lot of studies, though, showing that the solar footprint is more beneficial than the trees or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, you can make the case.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the ones I've seen, like the one out at Snake Pond Road in Sandwich, yeah. I mean, it's just like open field. It really is. I mean, if you have vegetation, it's maintained. They don't cut it between Memorial Day and Labor Day or something like for some reason, but it's fine. Mm-hmm. It's not scrub oak or scrub pine
right.
is what was out there before.
Right. And there's you see these things popping up everywhere. If you look on Google Earth now, you can see 15, 20-acre sites all over southeastern Massachusetts.
Yeah.
You know, look for the big shiny thing and zoom in on it. And it's
we'll go out to Exit 5 there on Route 3.
Yeah.
Right by McDonald's.
I think it's time that we don't get left behind. Every time we shake our heads, we're getting left behind. You know, it's time to...
I'm going.
Get the Grecian formula. Get the Grecian formula and get going. You know? I know. We're good.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
Which one do you want?
Appreciate your time. I'm good. I'll leave
those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew I could be used more. I got a ton more at home I could have brought.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate
thanks,
it much.
Appreciate
thank you. Yep. Look forward to seeing you next month.
Thanks, Andrew. All right, so we got some little package I put together. I figure it might be easy to follow. We had our first off, let me return the bids to Chris. Typically, after we go through them and review them, we give them back to the owner as well as those for you. So we had a bid opening for a water tank, August 6th. I sent out the canvas of bids earlier. It looks like y'all got a copy of it there, so you can see how they came in. Low bidder was Bisco/Phoenix Tanks. I did go through the bid. I called references. I checked in on them. Everything pans out fairly well. But I put this sheet together to start getting an idea, looking at the budgets. They basically listed, we have the base bid, the bid alternate, which is to demolish the other tank there. It can be done with this project. It cannot be done with this project. It's not going to impact the construction of a new tank. So we have the total bid cost of that $2.18. The engineering fees that were part of that original appropriated $2.1 million. So what we see down here, this pink and the blue box is basically the pink box is the base bid plus the engineering. $2,077,000 and change with the remaining budget of 22. And then the blue box is the total base bid alternate and the engineering. We exceed the $2.1 million by $42,451. The process from this point on is, you know, we can have a discussion about the fees and what we elect to award, not award, things of that nature, but say we do award one or both of the bids, I would basically send a notice of award to the contractor. He would be responsible to acquire his bonds, his insurance certificates, and sign his portion of the contract documents. Then they would come back to the owner. Owner would sign, and then a notice to proceed would be issued from that point. And then after that, they can start putting shovels in the ground.
Why the... I know I'm going backwards here a little bit. I mean, the bids on B1 are pretty close.
But
on the demolition, that's, you know, from the lowest to the next bidder, that's an incredible difference for a small job, you know.
It's double.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's you know, that just goes into the bidding game. You know, you see the bidding swing. It depends how, if they have the power in-house to do it. For example, Bisco owns all their own cranes and equipment to do it. They don't have to rent that out. They don't have to sub it out. They don't have to mobilize it. They're local.
One's not going to use dynamite, and the other one's going to use a crane.
We left it open.
That's a lot of money.
It is. We left it open to say, you know, the contractor has to submit a demolition plan, an approved demolition plan. So pertains to what, how much profit the bidder wants to put into that. I mean, an honest bid, you'll see both of them pretty close. If we got a handful more demolition bids, I think you'd probably see them all between the 65 and 100.
Yeah.
I think the 135 is someone just trying to say, okay, we got as low as we could on the base bid, and it's time to make a profit on the alternate. That's my take on that one.
All right. So the money that we went to the town district for was $2.1 million, and that was a 10% contingency fee part of that to allow for unknowns.
Mm-hmm.
And we've kind of exceeded that now.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't leave us any wiggle room for other issues coming up.
Not much.
Okay.
Not much.
So just in being ahead of the game, if we can, we're going to do something. And if this is the price, it's the price. But what I like to see is if we can come up with a number, if we have to go back to the district at the next May's meeting and say things are a little more expensive, we need to have X amount of dollars put aside to cover some things that have come up that we're not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to be prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's two. Well, for example, one, I know we wanted to look at tank lettering.
That was going to
be a change order.
Absolutely.
I don't know how much that's going to cost, but it's...
Yeah, that's something we'd have to look into.
We'd have to look into that.
Well, I think that Rick talked about, by not having anything on it, was going to save us $10,000 to $20,000.
Yeah.
So
and that's... I don't know, I can't remember what we spec'd out with paint.
Uh-huh.
That was, the kind of hydrophon, the
highest there. Did we spec the hydrophon?
We did.
Okay.
Yeah, we did.
I just wanted to make sure. The only thing I have about this, and you know, we talked about this with Russ, I've talked a couple times. Excuse me. Alex is killing me. I can't hear out of the way. I've been blocked for a bunch of months. The appropriation, now you know how we have to walk on our toes here.
Mm-hmm.
Was read to borrow and dismantle two tanks. $2.1 million. I don't know if we can award it without legal. That's what I was trying to get Mark today to talk about. And he's not going back to money. That's the problem. I don't want to get to a point where someone in this town comes to us and says, you can't award that bid, or our treasurer says, I can't get you the money for that because that's
more than likely what would happen.
Yes. You can't have that money because he hasn't got the money.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have to go back and sit to a meeting and say, can we change the wording like we've done before? I don't know if we have to go back and say, can we get $50,000 more. I don't know. Or can we, either way. Something has to be done one way or the other. And I don't know what the answer is.
So part of the bid process did not include the demolition of the other tank.
That would bring us under. If we didn't right now include the demolition of the other tank,
okay.
That would bring us under. We have the money to do it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Very good. I see what you're saying. So we have it. That's this price. This is the other tank. All right.
We'd love to do that and just wait until everything's done next year and say, okay, let's put it out. Who knows? We might even get it cheaper. It might be more expensive. I mean, that's a gamble I'm willing to take.
You should. If you put out just a demolition bid, you should have more bids on it. There's several people in New England that would.
I would think so.
Be interested in doing that.
So let me ask this: if we accept the bid to build the tank and leave open the demolition of the two tanks for bids.
You have to demolish one of them.
Yeah, to go. Yeah.
So you can't take both of them off. The other one we can leave separate.
As long as the wording has changed, or if
Prudential Committee.
It's all, and that's what I'm wondering if there's a, that's why I was trying to get in touch with Mark to see if legally, if can we just drop it and do what we can with the money we have because we can't, or do we have to
go back?
I've seen it go in the past. I've seen it go both ways when it comes to the wording of an article. Some say if it meets the intent of the article, it's acceptable. Other, I've seen other towns say it has to meet the letter of it. So it's, I can't advise either way. I mean, it's
right.
It's,
right. Right, and that's the only thing that's got me nervous.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one less. How about you take $30,000 off your engineering costs?
As long as you give it to me.
I'll give you more time.
As long as you give it to me for the fiber optic project. Then we're talking.
Yeah.
Well, you already signed that contract.
So, there's other ways to finagle the bagel here in terms of going through this contract and seeing what are the parts of this thing that we can take away. Fences, grass, paving. What can we get out of there?
Yeah, that's good.
And, also, BISCO can help us.
Yeah.
They have to decide. They may need to work at this thing and help us with this. Because this thing can be done. I mean, we can utilize, I don't know how much we have in there for fencing and other aspects of this thing that could be considered later on and be used out of other budgetary money.
Is there a bid itemized so you can break those other things out?
Well, how about this? That second site where we were planning, Main Street site, we had that tangent water main to make that a more smooth transition. If we take that demolition out, I believe, check the wording, if that alternate included the water main work, I don't believe it did. I thought that water main work was part of the base bid. So that whole site, that's something I have to check into. If that's the case, we take that out, we need more than money to be good to do this. And then that little supplemental piece of water main work.
Could be a future project. That
can be done over the day.
Yeah, so we've got to examine all the pieces of this thing. See,
yeah, so take a look at that tomorrow.
Yeah.
I've seen it, you know, numerous times where, you know, we don't come under the budget and we start taking pieces out of it that we can work on later on.
I think between that and the fence and the landscaping, that should be plenty. I mean, fencing is cheap. It's $30-$35 a foot.
We probably can hire somebody local to do the fencing at less money than we could for these guys anyway.
Let me ask you a question. When do you foresee this project being done?
For the specs, it was by the end of next year. Yeah, I'd like to start building this thing.
Mm-hmm. Did you say by the end of next year?
December 31st, the functional is complete.
So, I'm sorry, Chris, didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Well, I'm talking, and kind of brainstorming a little bit, but if we're talking just engineering costs, what's to hold us from paying some of it out of the budget now, out of our legal and engineering fee? And see what's saving some out and making sure that we pay some of our next year's.
As long as something doesn't come up, that's going to put us in a bind.
That would be the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, to facilitate and keep this moving in the right direction, we should probably sign the award, which is not a contract, and it could get these guys moving in the submittals and the information that they need to get you moving.
stuff that would have taken place this month anyways.
Mm-hmm. I'm more than confident, if we have to go through and cherry pick things out, I mean, I'm more than confident that the contractor would be willing to work with us.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, he's not probably putting in the fence anyway. He probably has some subcontractor putting in, so it's no skin to him if he...
Yeah.
They're all things, you guys, they're all things that we need that we're going to have to do. But can we find some other way to get them up there without...
We want to get it up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about the fencing, the grass. We don't want to let it lay. Mm-hmm. But these are all things that we can utilize so we can stay inside this budget.
How about I call him first thing in the morning, figure out what we can start doing to do this?
Yeah.
You know, I would like to get the awards at least just to keep the paperwork part.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure within a week or so I can have this thing figured out.
And I think...
as long as, you know, we talk tonight and agree, is provided we get the combined budget beneath that $2.1 million for everything, if we have to get certain things away, maybe next meeting we can come back and have BSCO come in with all the documents ready and sign them up. And away we go.
I think, Chris, I think you can sign the award, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
if we get something back from Mike, because I got an email in to him that says, if you guys don't have enough to do the demolition, that's not a problem. We'll just do the other way around. We'll just do the other part, and you guys can go back out next year at the end of the project.
We'll get the demolition
done. And we can go from that.
Well, let's cover our bases both ways. Let's chase this down with
BSCO. Right now, BSCO. Again, it's only about that anyway. It's not got nothing to do with the bid alternate one, right? Or BA one.
Yeah, the award letter.
The award's just for the tank. It's just for the base bid that I picked it up.
Okay.
With delaying the demolition on the Main Street tank, let the transition for those antennas go a little smoother.
Yeah,
good call, Vic.
Yeah.
And my stuff tells me unless we give those companies, okay, the tank's going to be down there this year. The longer we give them a deadline, I think the longer they drag their feet. You know, they're kind of like engineers. You've got to give them a deadline to get the job done.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not saying that it's and I do have the contact numbers Chris gave me, and I got to start calling them and saying, you know, the tank's coming down with or without your antennas.
And they want 18 months.
They want 18?
I believe that's what they want.
How many are up there?
It's weird how their contract is, but we have one year lease with them right now, you know, too. So, I mean, maybe it's 8 months or something like that. They need all kinds of notes. I have to look again at that.
So there's a structural concern that's deemed otherwise. I mean, sometimes you don't have the luxury of having 18 months.
This is it.
Okay.
All right.
So we've got a little bit of work to do, and then we'll get these guys assigned.
Yeah.
Documents so that they can move forward with the award.
Yeah.
And we know you've come to this. Do we need to make a motion on it? I guess we do.
Yeah, you guys should have a motion. Right.
The only thing that the letter of award states a specific value, so I would just make the motion once the value is in accordance with appropriated budgets, to let the superintendent sign it. And then, so I'll find out tomorrow what BSCO can take out of it. I'll redraft that amount and send something. If it's lower, I mean, he may have to put some value. It may not be tomorrow. It may take him a day or two to put his numbers together. Or, Chris, if you hear back sooner and say, you know what, don't worry about the two-tank language. You meet the intent of the article. Go do it, then we'll do it as is. So let's talk tomorrow, early afternoon tomorrow, and see where we stand. But I would think by early next week we could have an award letter signed. I think it would be good to get the superintendent of BSCO up here just to shake in and introduce himself and figure out who we're working with there.
All right. Yes. So we need a motion now? So I'd like to make a motion to have the superintendent sign the award letter as long as it meets the requirements of the $2.1 million award that the district voted for. Is that what we're looking for?
We're not going to be entering into any contract here. This is just an award letter so that they can get started. There's not a contract. We're not going to contractually get us going with this guy starting to build this thing. Yeah. It doesn't say anything.
It's just the
first
next step in the process.
Yes. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And gets them moving so it doesn't slow us down. We don't want to take a month and stop a month out of this thing when all the paper and all the information and all the specs and submittals can be moving. That's a 2-3-4 week, I don't know how long the process is, Russ.
To get all the specs and everything. Yeah. By the time we get them, they're approved and reviewed, it's probably more like 2 to 3 months for the tank. I mean, they got to get the tank manufacturers happy because they're putting together stamp plans. They don't do that for free.
Yeah.
They don't dedicate their engineers to do that until they get an order for it.
Yeah.
It takes them a good month or so to put that together.
Okay.
Then you got to review it. Then you got to send it back and forth.
We won't sign that until you talk back to us from BISCO.
Yeah,
our issue is not a big one, but our issue is one that we need help with that from them on also.
Yeah, I would think by next month we'll be in a better position. You know, we can bring the documents. We can have it at an open table, sign them all up there, sign the notice to proceed if all goes well by next month, and then we're on our way.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, can you repeat the motion?
Yeah, we get it. It's a good one.
All right. Make a motion allowing the superintendent to sign the bid award notice of award letter for BISCO for the $2.1 million water tank construction program.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Good. Okay. Quick update on the fiber optic thing. We had the engineer Mark Granville from our office come down a couple of meetings ago to talk about what we did in chat. That system is up and running, but Mark is out on vacation for this week, so Monday I'm going to sit down with Mark and talk.
Yep.
I'm going to send Chris some dates that we can go out and take a look at Chatham's cameras, the quality of it and all that, and better explain the process, how we work with the kind of design-build approach for that one. That should pick up some steam, and hopefully by the following next month, we should have some traction on that.
Wonderful.
I myself, I was doing my report this afternoon and a couple of things, and I came back around 10 past 4, put down my email. I got an email from Danielle. I thought I'd put it, said for everybody, even Russ, to have one.
So am I reading this right, that he needs us?
Yeah.
Well, then we can let him know when a convenient time is to meet. We've only been trying to get you for the last 3 years. So.
Yes.
Like the boy that cried wolf, we've heard this time and time again. We want to do it, and every time the ball gets dropped. So what's different about this time?
It's just one more time. I think we need to just move forward and do something.
You get two and I get one.
You already ate one.
Oh, okay.
See?
Anything else for me?
Okay.
Thank you. Excuse me.
Thank you. So, I don't know what you could have to do. Where are you going?
All right.
Yeah,
Dave.
Clean
up. Clean yourself.
Gonna
go relax. So by the time.
Okay.
There, Russ.
Thank you.
Thanks,
though. Okay. Dan Gallagher.
I haven't given him like I said, I just saw it, I laughed, and I printed it off so everybody can see it. This is something that's been going on for about 3 years.
I would say. This guy originally sold us on putting fiber optic in microwave dish up on top of a Santua tank to assist in 700 megahertz?
Right.
Is that what it was?
I don't know, but I can't remember the number, but it was.
900 maybe or something. It's a quicker way that if power went down on the cable, they could use that microwave for using for emergency communications, for EMS services, all DPW and everybody could all use this service, and they were going to provide it, and could we do it for nothing? And they had it for a long time until we found out that they didn't want to do it anymore. Some other things were happening, and everybody was backing out. And they had a private service behind them that was going to use it if it backed up, and then they weren't going to use it, so it's just been coming back and forth. And we said, well, we'd like to, if you're going to put something up there, we'd like to get something. When I ask you for money, we'd like to, you know, if you're going to be running fiber optic, we've got a security system coming, we'd like to hook into that fiber optic and use it. Well, we can't give you permission. You can hook up to it, but I can't promise you're not going to be charged for it. So there's been stuff coming back and forth. We got to the point where we actually, I think, did sign contract. I had one written, and it's gone back and forth between.
We had it written, but we couldn't get the language. Couldn't get the language in it.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Who is Open Cape?
Oh boy, that's not tonight.
Okay. Yeah, we're gonna get out of here.
You have the
I can look it up. I can look it up on the internet if they're there.
It's an organization that had a lot of your money and my money and Don's money and Chris's money given to them. And unfortunately, I would say that we may, in all retrospect, have dragged our feet a tiny bit in the beginning to not take advantage of that. But at the same time, it's going to probably end up us being the ones that didn't do the wrong thing in the end.
Yeah.
And but we probably, if we'd have jumped on it originally, wouldn't have paid a dime for the fiber optics.
We tried that.
So we just kept on working, and things kept changing. And so you can look it up online. It'd be a good thing to look up if you want to. But it's exactly what Chris said. It was originally the thought process was for an emergency microwave program. So that all the municipalities could, if there was a loss of power or an emergency, they'd have something to be able to communicate with. But then, more so than anything, it was going to end up being a private entity that sold the space on your tank and moved all kinds of information via the fiber optics that are up there. And still is today more of a money-making entity than just something that's going to be a safety organization. They pushed it as a safety organization, right, Don?
Yeah, and they got public money.
So it's not part of the county.
Millions.
It's not part of the county.
They had grant money to build the entire
270 something million.
Wow. Yeah. And they're not part of the county.
They have
connections with the county.
They do?
Yeah.
But I mean, they're not some subdivision of the county government. Yeah.
So let's, can we just quickly, I mean, I think that we have to let them move forward, Chris, on the tank. I'm going back to the tank now.
Okay.
Just for a second. I just want to talk to you guys about it. Let them, with the signing of this, Russell gets back to you, see where they're willing to help a little bit.
Yep.
And then get Russell in there looking at this contract and see where we can shave some money off, because really, what it looks like is $22,000, right?
Right, and some of it, like I said, I mean, I could take some of that out of my budget.
I know.
You know,
we don't have to.
$50,000 there.
These guys want this job.
For legal and engineering.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a problem with them. I paid $10,000 last year for doing a job on a door, you know, that came in. I wouldn't have a problem giving them 10 this year and 10 next year or something like that. So, I mean, we don't have to shave a lot.
Right.
Yeah. But as long as the bills don't come in asking me for payment for different things.
That's why I'm saying to you, the contingency was like one of the $100,000 contingency in there to be protecting us, you know? We were hoping that we'd get something under so we'd be protected.
I have received an email from Mike Daly asking me to do a couple things. One of the things is give him the plan for demolishing and what our plan is to do with the money that's coming in from the antennas and what's the plan to have them move to keep the money coming in. He wants me to send him something saying the project and everything else, which is, will each should equal the $2,100,000 that we're being awarded. So he's already in asking me for the stuff that I'm doing right now because I don't have anything that equals $2,100,000 right now.
Yeah, and I'm afraid that's what he's going to want to hang his hat on.
But he's very well spoken, and I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what the legality is now.
I think that we're going to be able to take portions of this project away that aren't going to be a detriment to the project. I think there are things that are going to be on this project that we can eliminate. Water main for one, fences for another, grass, just some of the stuff that's, you know, that's in there. If they haven't pennied those things in that project, they're there.
Right.
As long as they haven't pennied those,
aspects
of the project,
that
would be good.
We can cut and cap it right there.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. And then the only thing we've added to this now.
That's all I'm asking you to take a look at. What you could cut and cap it right there.
Yeah.
You don't have to go through there.
But then now we're adding a figure with the sign, with the word.
Well, we haven't done that. I didn't think that we. That was just something that we would consider. We hadn't made any.
Well, the old things. I mean, we just had block lettering, Katuit on them.
Well, we don't need
English C is not up there.
This one's even looked to be painted.
We don't have
it. It's not even worked to be leaded.
Okay, that's not even on it.
No, it's not even part of it.
We actually left it off to save money.
Okay.
Yeah. We would, I mean, if money was no object, put it right up there.
Yeah. You know? So you think it's about 20 grand to get lettering put on it, Tank?
Is it either 10 or 20? It would.
22, 24 the last one we went to before. Santuit. The Santuit lettering was 24,000, wasn't it?
But that was after the...
And that was after it was painted on top of the Tanemic that was there.
Yeah. Well, it might be a good thing to get a price. And if they came back to us and said, well, you know, what about the English Sea? And, well, maybe we could raise the money in the town independently to do it. And suggest
that
to them.
If we don't do it, they can come back at the next district meeting and to have a warrant, and that can be done as an afterthought.
Yep.
Okay. And if it truly gets the support of everyone in the district, then it's going to happen.
Well, one of the things that was the problem with that, Don, you probably remember it anyway, I'll tell you the thing later on, but one of the problems was that after the fact, it would void the warranty.
On the thing.
Yeah. And this...
That's the level before they put that
on. Yeah.
They're not going to be painted before next month.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I didn't understand.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
So you might do a warrant before we paint them.
Yeah.
I got you.
Or if there's enough interest in the town, maybe people would go out and raise the money to do it. You know? How many people signed their petition?
My sister-in-law did.
25.
Yeah.
25?
I'm all for it.
Oh, me too. Yeah. All the people coming into Katuit in a boat won't get lost.
Yeah, that's fine.
Without the GPS on the phone.
Yeah.
All right. Chris, are we okay?
The other day.
What's the last thing here? The RFP, cellular RFP.
Yeah.
We already did it?
No.
We talked about putting in an RFP for cellular.
All right.
Russ is going to look into that.
Oh, season? Okay.
Third Thursday is the 17th.
Let me think here.
Third Thursday?
I should be back by then.
Okay.
With me and Joe are driving back from Akron.
Yep. I think we'll be back on the 16th.
Well, will we be leaving the 16th?
I'll
be back on the 17th.
Okay.
So you know.
This is you, Chris? Is that
Russ? Yeah, the sealed bids.
He
actually said these are for you. I would like to return these after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
in my bed.
Okay, Bob.
The other thing is, just so you guys know, in October...
when would the meeting be in October?
It's supposed to be the 15th, I believe. And I am going to be on vacation that week. Not that it really matters unless there's anything that we signed or anything like that. I can always ask Jen to come in and take notes.
Oh, okay.
And stuff. But I am going to be gone. I'm going to go to Maine, take my son up there with me for a week.
Good.
We have been flexible in the past with people's stuff, you know. We're not tied to the day, are we?
Do you want to do it another time?
Like I said, it doesn't really matter to me. All I know is that the following Thursday is my wife's birthday.
So the third Thursday and the first, the fourth. What's the second Thursday?
So it's, I can't do it that day, but I might not be in a good mood.
No, it's not good. That's never worked out before. I remember that. You haven't gotten home on time.
No, you
don't get home on time.
So, I mean, we can do it without being here. I don't need to be here.
I'm gone the following week.
All right. So, if Jen comes for the 15th.
Yeah.
All right.
She might have... I'd
rather have Jen anyways.
She's much better to have
her. I like her. Yeah.
Hi, Jen.
Yep,
I got that marked down already.
So it's October 15th without you, and September 17th.
Yeah, well, I'll talk to you about it again next month.
Yeah.
Jen can't do it, then we'll have to change.
Yeah.
I already put my phone somewhere.
It's going to be here. You should bring more tomatoes or a chocolate bar.
All right. Hi, Chris.
I think that's all I have.
Okay.
Are we ready?
Ready.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you, Chris.
7:15 p.m. What happened
with this? Not
that.
We have to do it all over.
Anybody else?
I hope so.
Yeah.
So, oh, I'm not on.